All right, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? That's all right. Okay. I'll take it you're doing all right. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Bird Park Church. How's everyone feeling this Sunday morning? We doing all right? All right, hey, and we've already smoked like what feels like 20 packs today. Am I right? Anybody else? Just me? Just me, maybe. All right. No one else is feeling the smoke. Hey, well, thanks for being here. You guys are weathering the storm, and it's just a beautiful day still because we get to be here. We get to be outside doing outdoor church. Thank you for being here. Hey, if you haven't seen them already, we got these QR codes on each table. You can scan those and check out the lyrics on your phone, Spanish and English. Also, ways to give. And for the church, we appreciate the generosity that's already been flowing, all right? And, man, I just got to say, I got back from Washington this week, and an amazing experience with the family and all that. It was amazing. But coming back into the Matrix on Catalina here, the wild, the busy, anybody feeling that? And it's still summer. It's still summer. Still summer's still pumping. Wildfires are going. And I was just thinking today, God really put this on my heart that there's a lot going on in 2020. We've all kind of seen 2020 as like the throwaway year with pandemic, fires, all this stuff. And I thought my heart went out to those who don't know God during this time. Those people who are losing their lives, losing their homes to the fire, being overwhelmed with frustrations and fear. That struck me today. And I pray for those people today that don't know God during this time. They don't have the hope, the joy that we experience every day, right? Because we have this hope, and we come here to church today with this hope and this joy, knowing that God is with us, right? Amen? That there's a Savior, and we're going to be singing today about that. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Amen? And here in, it says as well, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Amen. Y'all ready to worship today? Yeah. Let's stand up. Let's worship today. All right.
Well, good morning. So glad to have you guys here with us.
Have you ever seen the wonder in the glimmer of first sight? As the eyes begin to open and the blindness meets the light.
If you have some say, I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in life, bursting in living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. Have you ever seen the wonder in the air of second light? I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in light, bursting in living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. I see the world in grace. I see the world in gospel. I see the world your way. Jesus way, you're the wonder in the wild.
Put your hands together.
When I see the world your way, I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking.
walking in the light. I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in light, bursting in living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light.
Yeah.
The awesome thing is the Holy Spirit that lives in us does that amazing work through the body as church to bring change not in our own lives individually, but as a community, as a nation. He takes us, and he is here in our midst this morning. I'm hoping you can feel him and his presence. Just allow the Spirit to speak directly to you. Lift your spirit. You know, find encouragement, strengthen him this morning.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in this place.
Sorry, let me fix this here. Because the wind is not going to cooperate with me. He's moving so much, you know, he creates the wind. What's that in the Gospel of John? He says, you know, be born again, and he gives him the analogy like the wind. You can't see where the wind comes and goes. So it is with the Spirit, right? So even with those gentle breezes, just let the Spirit rush on us this morning.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. Worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you.
Sing again. You are here.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you.
Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Tocando mi corazón, te adoraré, te adoraré. Aquí estás, sonando mi corazón, te adoraré, te adoraré. Aquí estás, cambiando. Te adoraré, te adoraré. Aquí estás, reparando mi corazón. Te adoraré, te adoraré.
Waymaker,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working.
Believe it.
You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working.
God's people said, amen. Let's hear it for the worship band. They're doing a great job just Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and not just singing and leading us in worship, but also in setting up this amazing place that we have for us every Sunday. So thank you so very, very much. And we'll hear more from them in just a minute. I want to say hi to all of you who are here with the shofar and everything else. That's great. Blow it. And all those who are in the parking lots, welcome. It's good to see you, all of you who are online and who are listening. And you know what? There are more people also with us this morning. As the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, you feel them? I feel them. I feel the people who are online, just as I feel the rest of you here. I feel your presence, and that's a good thing. But we have this cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us, and so what should we do? Let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's hard to run that race right now, isn't it? I mean, even with the change in the color, you know, the change in the sun, not being able to feel it fully, that kind of a somber glow that we're realizing because of all the smoke helps us to think about all those who are fighting the smoke and the fires, all those who are in danger and who have lost homes and yes, lives due to the fires. I mean, it's hard to come here and celebrate every Sunday, and yet we do. We give God the thanks and the praise that he so richly deserves for being our Lord and our Savior. But yes, there are times where we have to reflect also on how hard life is here, because it does entangle us. And so we do have to learn how to run with endurance that race that is set before us, that we are involved in, fixing our eyes on who? Amen. Say it again. Say it again. Say it with the feeling that he deserves, Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
and we are there with him, he says. So yes, we can run this race. Yes, we will run this race. But let's look at what he says there. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance that race that is set before us. It's a good thing to ask this morning. What is it that's hindering us from living that life of obedience? What is it that is indeed weighing us down? We have to identify it before we can actually lay it down, right? Take that weight and lay it down. It's God who removes that weight. But a lot of times what we do is go back and just reapply it, pick it back up again. Because there are certain sins, there are certain habits, there are certain attitudes, there are certain fears that we keep running back to and that keep us from fully running the race of faith as we ought to. So if we have those, we probably already know what those sins, what those habits, what those attitudes are, and I guess that each of us have prayed and prayed and prayed for victory in overcoming that problem. And we do feel that God has indeed intervened at times, but then we ourselves get back in the way by picking them up. But we really want to please God. And so removing wrong attitudes and actions from our lives, once God has dealt with them, that doesn't occur accidentally. We have to do that consciously. We have to help, right? God, through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, has removed sin, has removed death. And so we don't want to associate with those sins anymore. We don't want to turn back and go back and pick up those wrong attitudes, pick up those wrong habits that keep us from running the race of faith that's set before us. It's like an athlete who has eyes on the prize. He or she needs to be determined to strip off all the weight that might potentially keep him or her from being the best athlete that he or she could be. And that stripping process demands their attention. It demands their devotion because, again, it doesn't happen by accident. The athlete has to initiate and be active in the process of removal. And so do we. God has provided the way we need to walk in the way, securely and continually. We can't walk with the Lord with sinful habits and attitudes weighing us down. And if we don't help keep them away, they'll eventually knock us out of the race of faith. So with the Holy Spirit's urging each one of us, and with Andrew's encouraging words, those words that God has given him to give to us this morning, let's take an honest look at our lives. Let's remove everything that is false. Remove everything that weighs us down, that keeps us from that life of obedience that is pleasing to God. We must be honest with ourselves. We must be real with God. Do we have habits, wrong attitudes that bind us? Perhaps we have family and friends who keep us weighed down by their expectations of our behavior, that keep dragging us back into sin. We are going to be affected by what others expect of us. Even Jesus was affected by what was expected of him by friends and family. Listen to the story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It comes from the Gospel of John. John chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Yeah. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of the booths, was near. And therefore his brothers said to him, "Hey, leave here and go into Judea so that your disciples may see your works which you are doing. No one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." And they were kind of doubting him, weren't they? And they were prodding him. So Jesus said to them, "You know, my time's not yet here, but your time is always opportune. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it, its deeds are evil. So go to the festival yourself. Do not go up to this feast because my name has not yet, I do not go up because my name has not yet fully come." And having said these things to him, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he himself also went on his own, not publicly, but as if in secret. And so the Jews were seeking him at the feast and were saying, "Where is he?" There was much grumbling among the crowds concerning him. Some were saying, "He's a good man." Others were saying, "No, on the contrary, he leads the people astray." Heavenly Father, we know that you're on our side. We know that you want to help us because of what you've done. Out of love for us, you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, that we might be free from these sins, from these weights that weigh us down. And so help us to help you, Lord. Today I'm asking you to help us lay aside the attitudes, the negative thoughts, the patterns, the bad habits that keep us weighed down. Help us not to pick them back up again. Thanks be to what your Son has done for us on the cross and our freedom. We're exhausted from trying to live for you while dragging along these old weights behind us at the same time. So help us to learn this morning more about our need to drop these weights, leave them behind. And today we pray that what you have given to Andrew to give to us will help us learn to make the big break, to permanently drop all that hinders us and help us to walk away free from them forever. May what you have for us this morning help us to be able to run our race of faith in a way that pleases you, God. For nothing is more important to us than knowing your will and doing it in a way that brings you glory. And we pray all of this in your Son Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Amen.
I saw my ashes, you saw your dream. I saw an orphan, you were my family. I saw my frailty, you saw your might. I saw my blindness, you were the light. You give me garments of praise, fullness of joy. Till your love made me right. I was dead till you sent me back to life. And I was lost till you called me out by name. I was down till you picked me up again. Of praise, darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow tries to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. Yeah. Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. La vergüenza no tiene lugar. Las mentiras no me atraparán. Si el hierro mi pasado dejó atrás, en ti estoy firme, en ti estoy firme. Tu amor vence el temor, en ti somos libres. Tu amor vence el temor, en ti somos libres. Tu amor. Es tu poder que me puede salvar. A poder en tu nombre. A poder en tu nombre. There's power. There is power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out of grave. There's resurrection power that can save. temptation to let it all go. I see it now, I'm laying it down, and I know. And I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand. I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, again and again and again and again. No, no,
my heart has been your sights long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death.
And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out just as I.
Yes, Father, we were truly made to be dependent upon you completely and fully. And so every moment of the day, as we breathe in the breath of life and oxygen that you so blessedly grace us with, Lord, we breathe in the life of the Spirit. In the same way, each breath needs to be the same with living out of the Spirit. Again and again and again. More and more of you, we run to you, Father. We just thank you so much that you are sufficient for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I feel God's presence in this park. I hope so. Now, even if I didn't feel it, I would know that it's real. But it's good to feel it. It's good to feel it. And welcome to everyone this morning. Welcome to those of you listening online. Welcome to the families that got up after a long couple of weeks and a long week of schooling online. I've heard of third graders just falling out of their chair at 2 in the afternoon from all this online learning.
And it's great to have our kids here. Let's celebrate our kids right now. Look at them all. Thank you. And Constance, happy birthday. A little bit late, but happy birthday to you. Busy mom there. A lot of busy moms in the crowd. And I heard a shofar horn this morning. That's the coolest thing ever. And thank you for bringing that. That means a lot, especially to our staff here, to hear that. It's a great way to go before. We know that the Lord is leading. We've heard those things before. Ron, thank you for your words, and thank you for the word this morning. John chapter 7 is really a very human moment in the life of Jesus. And I've been gone for a little bit. I've been serving in a couple other capacities. I've been praying for my church here. I've been praying for you. And I want to keep the main thing this morning. Is that okay? How about Jesus? Ron had to say it at least five times till we got it, right. Jesus this morning. It's a great example to us today, and we hope that we can see the example of Jesus and how it applies to our lives. John chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Jesus is headed to the feast of the Festival of Tabernacles, and there's some pressure there. And he did not want to go to Judea. Ron made it very clear. It was very cool how Scripture just says, hey, there's people there that want to kill him. And I was thinking the same thing. You know, why would I want to go there? You know, why? What's that all about? But it was near, and Jesus' brothers say to him, you ought to leave Galilee and go to Judea. How many know that there's always someone telling you what you ought to do? And usually it's somebody with your last name. Well, you ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the works that you do. No one becomes a public figure who acts in secret. And since you're doing these things, post them on Instagram. Show yourself to the world. His own brothers did not believe in him. His own brothers. Therefore, Jesus told him, my time is not here. It's not here yet. For you, any time will do. Ooh. Salty Jesus. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. If you haven't had a head-on collision with the devil lately, it means that you might be headed in the same direction. This is a quote from a good buddy of mine. Of course I'm in conflict. I'm in contradiction of the world's values. So it's not easy for me to live on this earth according to kingdom principles. But Jesus turns around and he says in verse 8, you go to the festival. I'm not going to control you. You do what you need to do. I'm not going to the festival because my time has not yet fully come. I wonder how different our lives would be if we learned the power of those words, those two words, not yet. It got really quiet. I hear a squirrel out there. Not yet. Very powerful words. Verse 9, after he said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, his brothers had left for the festival. He went also, but not publicly, but in secret. The Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, where is he? Among the crowds, there was this widespread whispering. Some said, he's a good man. Others replied, no. He deceives the people. Key verse is verse 10. I'm looking at that. And if you would, pray with me one more time, if you would. Spirit of God, I thank you for being here and the accuracy of which you register in the hearts and the minds of the people who are open. God, give us this openness that we may receive whatever you wish to speak, and we give you praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know you got your mask on, but look at someone real quick. Just look at someone and say this. I don't have to post it to prove it. Let them have it. I don't have to post it to prove it. Yeah. Let's quit comparing ourselves. We live in a time where everybody wants to be a public figure. We live in a time, and please don't get mad at me for saying this, where even people who have a private account, okay, spend their whole life posting stuff and commenting on stuff.
to create an image and a projection of reality that may bear absolutely no resemblance to the reality of where they're actually living, their situation. Is there anybody awake this morning? You know the ones I'm talking about, okay? Maybe you're sitting here. And Jesus' brothers, they pull him aside and they say, hey, we got a great idea. Why don't you show the world who you really are? And the interesting thing about the text, and I'm going to give you this very quickly, is the nexus of this verse. And it's in verse 5. It even says, Jesus' brothers did not believe in him. That's hard to imagine. And since they didn't believe, they were trying to get him to perform. You read that? Anytime you have unbelief in your heart, it will cause you to have to perform to prove something that you really don't believe. In psychological terms, it's called the fraudulence complex, or some call it the imposter syndrome. And it speaks about how many of us have an inability to internalize our strengths in our accomplishments. Psychologists call it the imposter syndrome because they say that many of us, and listen to me carefully, secretly, deep down inside, we feel like we're a fraud. We're posing. And many of us secretly, deep down, feel like we have much less to offer than what people expect. And that even when people compliment us, we figured that when people are complimenting us, it's because they really don't see us for who we really are. And if they ever saw us for who we really are, and if they ever saw how stupid we feel, if they ever saw how inexperienced we feel, if they really saw how nervous we really are, they would kick us out of the room or out of the park. It happens to fathers. It happens to moms. It happens to leaders. It happens to teenagers. It happens to all of us. It's the fear of being found to be less than they thought you were. It's the fear that keeps you in the performance mode. It's the fear that keeps you spending money to look like something important because deep down you're afraid that you're really not. And it is the fear that keeps us overcompensating, and you get in these situations, and I do too, and this is written from my own journal, and rather than letting other people be the center of attention, you feel the need to overcompensate to show people just how intelligent you really are. Y'all tracking with me? Because deep down, you don't feel intelligent enough. Some people think you're cocky, but you're really not cocky. You're just scared with a conflict because between who they think you are supposed to be and who you feel like you really are, and that's called the imposter syndrome. And it means that sometimes even though I'm trying to fulfill my purpose, I feel like a fake. It's not that I'm a hypocrite. And it's not that I'm insincere. It's just that deep down inside, I'm a man who feels like a little boy. I'm a preacher who sometimes feels like a sinner. And I want to be wise, but sometimes I feel like a fool. And I'm wondering, is there anybody here who has lately been under the pressure of an expectation? Raise your hand. Is there anybody here? The pressure of an expectation. I know for sure every teacher in here ought to have their hand up too. Moms included. And when you feel the temptation, the tendency to try to prove it. I got to prove I'm a good dad. I got to prove I'm a good mom. I got to prove I'm a good preacher. I got to prove it. And when you do it to prove it, my friends, and I'm telling you from experience, it just takes all the joy right out of it. There it goes. And so Jesus didn't mind performing miracles. He wasn't going to do it for the wrong motives. He was going to Judea. He just wasn't going to make a public spectacle out of his power. And Jesus was ultimately determined to show the world who he was. Yes, but he wasn't going to do it for the Grammy. I think the key thing that he says here, and I go back to it, is not now. Those two words, not now. I'm going to Judea. which, by the way, is the region where he ultimately gave his life, okay? But not now. And it's such a weird world right now that we are living in, isn't it? I mean, I have been scared even for my kids. Honestly, it's been hard telling them about growing up in a time where we've always had the pressure, but now the performance is following it. Not everybody gets to experience performance anxiety because we're performing our lives for each other all the time, literally, just constantly. And I mean, if you cook a good meal for your family, it doesn't count unless you make a good Instagram story out of it. This is a very common thing to preach about, okay? And you know why? Because it's killing us. It's killing us. It's a very common thing. Jesus said, if I go to Judea for the wrong reasons, and if I show up with the wrong motives, okay, and if I live my life to perform for others rather than to glorify my Father, it will kill me. It will kill me. And it says that he purposely stayed away from Judea. What do you need to purposely stay away from in this season of your life? I ask you that. What do you need to purposely stop thinking about in this season of your life? Who do you need to purposely stop comparing yourself to in this season of your life? For me, it's Laird Hamilton. Anybody heard of Laird Hamilton? Okay. I was doing squats the other day, and one of my buddies was watching me. One of my wildman buddies was watching me do these squats, and I was doing them, these deep squats, okay? And I literally, oh gosh, I probably should have practiced this with jeans on. Okay, so one of my FaceTime buddies, Big Brian, a wild man from Florida, wasn't able to be there, so my other guy is looking at me, and I'm down in these deep squats. Y'all don't laugh at me. Can you see my underwear? Hold on a minute. All right. Don't laugh at me. And I'm down here and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm doing my squats. He's like, what? I said, I'm doing my squats like Laird Hamilton. He goes, I got news for you. You don't have the body of Laird Hamilton. All right. And I wonder what God looks at us. What does he see when we are trying to, right? Right? When we're literally trying to look like, I'm gonna pop a quad. I'm going to blow my hamstring out doing this stuff, all right? This is insane. And literally, don't judge me for this, okay? Because some of you guys are literally putting so much hurt on your body, on your soul, on your life, by trying to literally do things like somebody else. You're trying to get in there and do something like somebody else, and it's just not working. In fact, if anything, think of how God feels about that. Even though this guy, Laird Hamilton, is huge, he's strong as an ox, his body is not my body. He doesn't have the same physique. We're not together in this. Y'all tracking with me right now this morning? Yeah. And I want to do these things, and I want to look a certain part, but I wonder what God is trying to, what does he see? And Jesus said, I'm not going to Judea because you want me to go to Judea. I don't have to post it to prove it. I don't have to turn stones into bread to show that I'm the Son of God. I live out of purpose, not for popularity. I live out of purpose, not for praises of men, but for the praise that can only come from my Father, God. And I wonder if there's somebody today, this morning, who is content to stay in Galilee, to know that it's my season to be obedient. Is there anyone here this morning? Is there? That's all I have to do. All I have to do is be obedient in this season of my life. And Jesus said, y'all go. I'm not going. Not now. Y'all go. I'm going to stay. I'm purposely staying away. Because if I go to impress people with that motive, it will kill me. And I'm trying to impress people and trying to measure up to arbitrary standards that are changing so fast. My friends, it'll kill your commitment. It'll kill your joy. It'll kill your marriage. It'll kill your ministry. And I got to say it, it'll kill your family. It'll kill your family.
Now, even Jesus, not even Jesus could please everybody. And he was sinless. He was spotless. Amen? Not even Jesus could do it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, couldn't please everybody. And we expect that we can. Even Jesus had to say, y'all are my family. I love you, but it's not for me. It's not for me. And just those words, it's not for me. You ought to go down there to Judea and show them what you're made of, right? These guys pouring it on. Because I think they were under pressure also. The brothers of Jesus, they were under pressure. Honestly, I think it was a lot of pressure to be a sibling of Jesus. Think about that for a minute. And you're bringing home C's in chemistry, you know, and this guy's turning water into wine and new molecular structures with water in real time, right? A lot of pressure. You got that weird brother, you know, the one who stays at the temple preaching at age 12. It's a pressure to feel special. And sometimes the pressure that we feel to be special does not come from God. Doesn't. Comes from a culture who tells you, you got to be so special, so different, so unique, so set apart. My friends, this morning, with your masks on staring at me right now, you already are special. You already are. You hear me? Whatever stage of life you're in, believe it today. You already are special. I already am set apart. Jesus, if you go down, you can really show them who you are. You can show them who you are. Jesus said, I don't need to show them. I know. And when you live out of that place, it affects you to be able to do it for purpose and not for proof. Y'all tracking? Yeah. Because who you really are matters. And who are you trying to prove it to anyway? For just a second here. I mean, for real. Whoever you're trying to prove it to, okay, isn't paying attention. They're not. Some of you aren't even paying attention right now. Whoever you're trying to prove it to isn't paying attention because they're trying to prove it to somebody who also isn't paying attention. And then they're trying to prove it to somebody else who's not paying attention. And so while we're busy posting to each other our results to prove to one another what we're worth, our purpose is dying in the place of insecurity. I see that, and I'm going to admit this, I see that very subtle step even in our ministry in subtle ways. We sit down to measure our ministries. It's been a hot topic in the elders group. Just looking at, I felt this the other day. We were looking at these different ministry posts, just trying to use every kind of social media there is, invites included. And we were looking to see how many people liked this or how many people attended this on this live stream and how many things were going on. And, you know, and man, Jesus would have had a killer Instagram account. Can you imagine? Woo, man, you swipe up and get healed right there. He would have. I believe that you can use that stuff. You wouldn't have to click on anything, lose your leprosy. There it is. It would have been amazing. I agree with all of it. But instead, church, we're looking to see how many folks were watching this on Facebook, okay, or on YouTube. Live stream, what I'm saying about this in this moment is where I was thinking about how this post performed, how it performed. I'm calling this out because for me, this is a very dangerous word because I'm performance oriented by nature. I don't know why, and I would ask for your prayers for that. Sometimes I feel like I'm showing up for regular conversations and I'm thinking, oh God, did I say the right thing? I had a friend who got in trouble the other day, and it wasn't good, and he was a good friend, and it took me nearly a week to call him back. So rather than call him and say what I had, because I didn't feel like I really had anything valid to say. I just didn't. I just let it sit. And so rather than calling him to just say what I thought I had, I waited and I hurt him by not calling because I didn't think I had something to say. And when I called him, I realized that he didn't need my performance. He just needed my presence. He just wanted to know I'd be there. He didn't need me to say anything. He didn't need me to say anything. He just needed me to be there. And when you don't believe that, it kills you. Unbelief always leads to performance. They didn't believe him. I thought it was a fraud. I thought it was a fraud. When you think you're a fraud and you get unbelief in your heart, and when you go to those places in your mind, you kill yourself trying to prove something. You know, we're analyzing things, and you can look at it. You can look at how many people like this post. Here's a clip. You know, this one's better. This song sounded better. This one performed better than this one. And that's good to know, I think. Okay, it's very good to know. We should look at that. I don't even know if the one that got the most likes was the one God used. You know why? Listen to me carefully. I don't even know if the one that got the most likes is the one that God used. Because who am I to say that the one that didn't get as many likes maybe came across to somebody's feed who had their hands shaking so badly to click like or to comment because they were holding a bottle of pills in their hand and they were overdosed on alcohol and they couldn't hold still? How do I know that they didn't make it to click like? How do I know that they were the ones that needed to hear it, that spoke through the screen, that just really hit their situation? And my friends, you can't measure that in likes. You can't measure that in clicks. And when you do it for the wrong audience, when people don't clap, and when people don't say amen, you quit. When they don't say thank you, or you don't get feeling like they appreciate you, they don't even notice. They wouldn't even miss me. They don't even know what I bring to this. They don't really. Jesus wasn't doing it for the people. He certainly wasn't doing it for their praise. No. A week later, they crucified him, right? When he walked in, they were hailing him. When the brother said, you need to do it so they will see you. You need to do it to prove it. Jesus said, I believe in the 2021 version. I don't have to post it. I don't need to do this. I don't have to post it to prove it. I don't have to. I don't have to do it because they're clapping. I do it because I'm called. I have to do it because I'll get paid. I do it because I'm called. I'm not doing it for the clout. I'm not doing it for the calling. I mean, I am doing it for the calling. I'm not doing it for somebody else's calling who feels they are hearing something. God is the one that's calling. God is the one who's speaking. And when someone looks at you and they say, this is what God's telling me, those are key words. This is what I'm hearing. I'm not chasing someone's approval, but what does God have to say? I'm fulfilling my assignment. And this message, my friends, this morning is for our generation. And I don't mean people my age. I mean that the time that we're living in right now is consumed and literally obsessed with chasing clout, approval, publicity, and some things should stay private. Some things should stay private. Some things that God does in your life are not for PDA, okay? Public displays of affection. They're not, or ability. And you know, back in my day, if you were making out with somebody in public, they would holler what? Three words. Get a room. Somebody on the golf course, they just messed up their putting right there, okay? They'd say, get a room. And I heard Jesus say, when you pray, don't do it in public like the pagans do, trying to impress somebody, or the Pharisees do. Begin in a secret place in your closet. Get a room where you can get alone with God and ask God, what am I called to do? What am I called to be? I can't take my cues from culture where the crowd is killing me. God, what do you want me to do? I'm a teenager. And I don't know what the next step looks like. I don't have something to follow right here that's just, you know, chiming with me. It doesn't make sense. Or I'm a young adult, and I thought I was going the right direction. All heck is broken out, and everything I've known is upside down. Right now, I might not even have a job. I'm not even sure where I'm at in my senior life right now. Where is my family when I need them? You put yourself in this position and find a closet. And realize God has got something to say about it. I will show up for you. I stay late for you. I forgive you. I love you. I serve you, God. And I turn around and I want to preach for you. I live for you. I worship you. The way you love me, the way you treat me, it's not for an audience of them. It's a private moment with him. Amen? It's private. God is my audience. And when God is your audience, the opinions of others are no longer your substance. I don't turn stones into bread. And we so need this word from the Lord because we're not sure where we're getting it from. It's getting more and more weird how we're all forming for each other. We're all putting this together all the time. It's exhausting, and it just flat out sucks. And it's worthless, and it doesn't matter. God sent me today with a word of sanity for this crowd in front of me this morning. The crowd will kill you. John said there was widespread whispering about Jesus. Everybody had a comment to make. I love this. Everybody had something to say online. Everybody's on the discussion page. Everybody's got their opinion. But no one had the courage to say it to his face. And this is the world that we live in. And when we give too much weight to the whispers of people and not enough weight to the word of God, it will kill us on the inside. If John can come up, I'd like to pray this morning. And please be in a posture this morning of prayer. Protect yourself from distraction. Proving stuff to people never produce the power of God. Never. Even when Jesus hung on the cross, they were still trying to get him to prove it. If you're the Son of God, come down from that cross. My friends, he could not come down. He wasn't up there to prove it. He was up there to do it for you and for me. To despise the shame and endure the cross. And those of you listening this morning, the presence of the Lord is here to remind you of your righteousness and to remind you that you don't have to perform a religious act or a behavior modification program to be accepted by your Heavenly Father. And as I'm praying with you this morning, maybe there's somebody here that's feeling like you're not enough. You're not enough. And it caused you to enter into modes of communication and methods of life based with the basis of lifestyle that do not even fit your assignment or your calling. And there are some places you're going to need to purposely stay away from in the coming days. Places in your mind. Places in your imagination. Places you will need to stay away from on purpose in order to live in peace. You've been under pressure that did not come from God to live up to something that's not even originated in his heart. And today I pray that the peace of God will be your portion as you enter this next season here, starting today. And whatever you do, you'll not do it for popularity or praise, that you'll do it on purpose. You would do it on purpose with an intentionality that Jesus had as he set his face toward a future with destiny in his heart. Praying even under pressure in the Garden of Gethsemane. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. May God give you the spirit of focus and determination. Parents, to raise your family, fight for that child. Fight for them. And to run your race, to live your life, and to ignore the whispers that come out of unbelief. They are everywhere. Jesus, help us to stop trying to prove it. My friends, we don't have to prove it. It's already spoken. It's already settled. There's confidence in this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me. For change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. failed me yet.
Amen. Well, before you head out this morning, just wanted to let you know next week we're actually going to try on our streaming end of things online. We're actually going to try to start streaming to YouTube directly instead of Facebook, just to include a larger audience of people who don't have Facebook accounts, as we're just preparing to continue these outside services for a while. And so if you have been tuning in that way online, hopefully you can find our Avalon Community Church YouTube page. All that information will still be online on our website that you can check out as we try to keep you guys informed about those things. So, but yeah, we're just excited to continue to do this together and meet together. And so we just pray that that can be a blessing when you're unable to make it here in person. You can still be a part of that live. We do put a recorded version of it, which will be a better quality on afterwards later on Sundays. So anyway. Well, let's send you out with one more song here. I pray you guys have a blessed rest of your weekend and day. Pray that the Lord has blessed you with the word this morning. And hopefully just getting you to walk in that freedom, right, that he's bringing to you today. And just live in his purposes for your life. So.
Darkness I was, rejected and cut out from hope. I couldn't see his love for me. They said he's not who he seems. Don't get your hopes up for him, but lies fell away when I saw his face. My heart burst to life. I saw changed.
Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.